Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we are in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 17. Now this particular verse of Scripture says, "A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him." Let's read it again. "A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him." Now that word "stay" there is like the word we use for stay of execution. In other words, this person deserved to die, and so nobody is to stay his execution. Okay? The lesson today, therefore, is about capital punishment. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the Bible's take on capital punishment. Lots of people have asked, is capital punishment still in the New Testament? Does the Bible prescribe capital punishment? What should we do about capital punishment today? Well, once we see what the Bible's take is, then you should know. In order to do this, let's concentrate on one capital crime. We're going to start out by concentrating on the capital crime of murder. And then we'll go from there. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20, and look at verse 13. Exodus chapter 20, and look at verse 13. Of course, if you know your Bible, you know you're in the section where God is giving Israel the Ten Commandments. He's not writing them on stone here. He does that later with Moses. Right now, he's speaking the Ten Commandments, and he says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, this is the sixth commandment, he says, "Thou shalt not kill." Thou shalt not kill. All right, now, somebody said, well, that covers warfare and every other kind of killing, and it covers self-defense and every other kind of use of force in order to kill your assailant or anybody else. And no, that's not what it says at all. That verse right there is talking about murder. And you know that it's talking about murder because in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ is approached by a rich ruler, that young man comes to Jesus Christ and he says, "What good master," he said, "what good thing must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus Christ tells him, okay, he says, "Keep the commandments." And when he runs through the list of the commandments that the young man is to keep, you know what he says? Do no murder. Okay? So specifically, this commandment is about murder. And murder, then, as we're going to see in the Bible, is a capital crime. A capital crime. In the Bible, in case you want to know where Jesus Christ spoke, "Thou shalt do no murder" to the rich ruler, look in Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. That's where your cross-reference is. He says, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness." So the Bible interprets itself and tells you what God meant and what God said when he said, "Thou shalt not kill." All right? When you go back to Genesis chapter 9, which is the first book in the Bible, the ninth chapter, and you look at verses 5 and 6, this is right after the flood, right after Noah comes off the boat. Notice that God prescribes the death of the murderer. This is long before he gives the law. Look what he says. Genesis chapter 9, verse 5. "And surely your blood of your lives will I require, At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. So clearly in Genesis chapter 9, God prescribes and commands capital punishment for murder. Clearly he says in verse 6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Now the avenger of blood is the brother of the man slain. Look again in verse 5. Surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it. Therefore, if an animal kills a man, then the animal must be killed. And then he goes on to say, and at the hand of man, all right, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. So if a man kills a man, in verse 5, the brother of the deceased kills the assailant. And he says, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. So way back in Genesis chapter 9, right after the flood, God commands capital punishment for murder. Turn with me now to Numbers chapter 35. Numbers chapter 35, which is certainly after the giving of the law. God goes on to explain this process of execution and this process of fair trial before execution. So we're going to read a little bit of scripture. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 35. Now look in verse 13. What you're going to see here is a scenario where a man, you're going to see a scenario for an accidental death at the hand of a man, and you're going to see the scenario for a purposeful death or a murder, okay, at the hand of an individual. And then you're going to see how a fair trial saves the life of the first man for the accidental death, and a fair trial reveals the murder in the second case and requires an execution, a capital punishment. Numbers chapter 35, look at verse 13. Of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall you have for refuge. You shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall you give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. So here's an accidental death, and the avenger of blood can come now to kill the assailant, but the assailant can run to a city of refuge, and if he gets there, he is spared until he can have a fair trial. Keep reading. Verse 16, Numbers chapter 35. If he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. Watch it. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. So there's no trial. You just have this fella, and he murders a man, and then the brother, who is the revenger of blood, goes after him. When he finds him, he kills him. Now look at verse 22, Numbers chapter 35. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him. So that's like two guys are working. They're up on a hill. One fellow releases a stone that he's trying to clear on some property, and it dislodges and goes down and accidentally rolls over the other person. Well, he wasn't an enemy of that person. He wasn't lying in wait to kill that person. It was accidental. He didn't see him down there, and he cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm. Then the congregation, verse 24, shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. So you see what's going on here in Numbers chapter 35, in verses 13 to 25. There's two classes of death here at the hand of another person. There's one where there's clearly murder. He is an enemy. He takes an instrument of iron or a stone or a weapon of wood, and he murders the fella. All right, in that case, then the revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer. When he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if it was an accident, and the assailant runs to the city of refuge before he's caught by the revenger of blood, then the congregation basically tries the case between the slayer and the revenger of blood, and when they find that the slayer was innocent, then they protect him from the revenger of blood, and his security is he goes to the city of refuge and he stays there till the death of the high priest, and he can't be killed. All right? Now let's go down to verse 30 in Numbers chapter 35 and see what happens to the murderer. Verse 30. Numbers chapter 35. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. So you have to have at least two witnesses. The Bible tells us in the mouth of two or three witnesses is every word established. So you got to have at least two, preferably three. But if there's only one, then listen, that man cannot be put to death on the witness of one person. Verse 31, though. Moreover, you shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. So if it's found that he is in fact a murderer, and there are sufficient witnesses to convict him, then he says, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer. In other words, there's nothing that can be done to spare the man's life. He is guilty of death. You know what that is? Capital punishment. And the Bible says, he shall be surely put to death. Verse 32, and you shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. In other words, if he's innocent because it was an accident, and he goes to the city of refuge and he says, man, I don't want to live here till the death of the high priest. I'm ready to go back to my place. There's no satisfaction for that either. He has to stay in the city of refuge. Verse 33, so ye shall not pollute the land wherein you are, for blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not, therefore, the land which ye shall inhabit wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. Notice what he says. It pollutes the land and defiles the land if you don't slay the murderer. The only way to cleanse the pollution in the land and the defiling of the land when there's been a murder is by the blood of him that shed the blood, by the blood of the murderer. Now, that's really something. I don't know if you've read through the Bible to see all those things, or if you read through there and paid attention to what you're reading, but you see that capital punishment is definitely required for murder. If not, it pollutes the land. And he goes on now in our text in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 17 to tell you there should be no stay of execution. No stay of execution. Go back here to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 17 where we started today. And notice what he says. A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him. So there's no stay of execution. Do you know a man that fled to the pit after doing violence to the blood of an innocent person? I'll tell you who it is. It was Judas Iscariot. And you know what? Judas Iscariot literally wound up in the pit. In other words, when you go to Acts chapter 1 and you find out that Judas Iscariot has to be replaced by another apostle because of his betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ, you find that he hung himself. He committed suicide. And when he did, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 25, that the new apostle, that is Matthias, takes the part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. Watch it. The Bible says that he may go to his own place. Well, in John chapter 17, verse 12, Jesus Christ tells us that Judas Iscariot is the son of perdition. And you know where the son of perdition is? The Bible tells us he's in the bottomless pit. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. See, that's where he's coming from, is the bottomless pit. Now, I know I went through that quickly, but our lesson today is not about Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot ended up in the pit. There was nobody that stayed his execution. God knew that he was going to wind up there and didn't do anything to stop him. As a matter of fact, if you read in Psalm 109, verses 6 through 8, you're going to find what's called an imprecatory prayer, where the psalmist is praying against the Antichrist, and that movement of Judas Iscariot from here to the pit is a fulfillment of that prayer. All right, now let's continue on with the lesson. What we've seen so far is that there is a commandment of God, thou shalt not kill, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Genesis chapter 9, right after right after Noah gets off the boat, says if a man is murdered, his death is to be avenged by his brother. In Numbers chapter 35, we read about a city of refuge, and if the man indeed is a murderer, he dies, and if the man in fact is innocent of murder, then he stays in the city of refuge for his protection. Nevertheless, the executioner is the near relative or the brother of the slain. And he, listen, if he is found guilty, if the slayer is found guilty of murder, then the revenger of blood kills him, and there's no stay of execution, and there's no satisfaction for his execution. He dies. You know what Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 tells us? Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 tells us that murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And people say, no, you know what we need to do for the murderers? We just need to lock them up and keep them alive and pay whatever it is, $35,000 or $40,000 a year to look after them and to give them all the money they need and all the food they need and take care of them with all the medical supervision they need until they die. Why? So they can wind up in a lake of fire? Do you see how that is? The Bible says, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you see it? Now listen. Let's get this thing in biblical perspective. You said, well, you've read to us from the Old Testament, and you're telling us what we already knew, that a murderer would wind up in hell. Well, what does that have to do with the New Testament? What does that have to do with the law today? Well, why don't we go to the New Testament and see? Again, we're simply pointing out one particular sin that we know is a capital crime, and we're seeing that the capital crime is certainly required in the Old Testament. You know what? It is in the New Testament as well. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 29, the Bible tells us, Romans chapter 1, verse 29, there's a list of sins that go from 29, 30, 31. In verse 29, you find, right after the phrase, full of envy, you find the word murder. You see it? Romans chapter 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. Now jump down to verse 32 and see what the Bible says about that particular sin. The Bible says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see, the Bible says that in the New Testament, a murderer is still worthy of death. So capital punishment is still valid in the New Testament. That's not all. Look in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, watch what the Bible says. This is Paul writing in the New Testament. Verse 1, Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. All right, so men that are in positions of authority like law enforcement and legislators receive their power from God. Now, they should be subject to the higher power of God, and many of them aren't. That's an unfortunate thing. Nevertheless, those positions of authority are still, but the Bible says, ordained by God, and a man that resists the power resists the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive in themselves damnation. Verse 3, Romans chapter 13, verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, watch it, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now I'm going to tell you something. He doesn't use that sword to paddle people. That sword is for execution. That sword is for the revenger, just like the Old Testament used it for the revenger of blood. And the Bible tells you that that person in law enforcement is a minister of God. And he's there to punish evil. Do you see that? That's capital punishment. And it's an ordinance of God carried out by a minister of God, and it's an execution. Now, up to this point, we have just dealt with murder because it's an obvious capital crime. But in the Bible, you're going to find other capital crimes that are punishable by death. Homosexuality, bestiality, adultery, witchcraft, and the list goes on. So it's not just isolated to one particular crime. Now watch this. Paul, in Acts chapter 25, upheld capital punishment, and he was a saved man under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was responsible for writing 14 books in the New Testament. Look what he says in his own defense. Acts chapter 25, verse 11, he is giving his defense before Festus. You see that in verse 1. And in verse 11, here's what Paul says. If I be an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Notice he said, if I've committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. He upheld capital punishment. That's an amazing thing. But you have to understand that. So listen, if our country says, or if our state says, murder is a capital crime, and a man is convicted of murder, and he is sentenced, and he goes through the due process of law, and he is executed, then the state of Texas is in line with the Bible, and they don't provide a stay of execution for the murder. Now, in many cases, murderers are given a stay of execution, and they are not facing capital punishment. In that case, when the courts do that, they are out of line with the Bible. Now, if it's an accidental death, of course, then the guy's not guilty of murder. You say, but wait a minute, I thought Paul was responsible for the death of Christians, and that he was a persecutor of the church, and that he consented to the death of Christians. Isn't that the same thing as murder, in a sense, that he is an accessory to the crime or an accessory to the crime? Yes. How about Moses? Didn't he murder a man? Yes. Well, may I tell you something? The only hope that a man has is Jesus Christ. You must be washed in his blood. Paul is an exception. He was a murderer whose life was spared. David was an exception. God gave him mercy when he was responsible for the death of Uriah. Moses was a murderer, and God gave him mercy. And those were special exceptions, but I'm going to tell you something. Anybody who is guilty of a capital crime can come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and be washed in his blood. His life may not be spared, but his soul will be. When that Bible says, all murderers shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, I'm going to tell you something. There is an exception for any man who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and trusts him as his Savior. Because Jesus Christ died for all sins. And I say to you today, if you review your life and you review the Bible and you find the other things in there that God said required a capital crime, a capital punishment, and you find yourself guilty of one of those things, I tell you, fall to your knees and beg mercy from God Almighty and beg mercy from the Lord Jesus Christ and pray to God that your soul be spared from an eternity in the lake of fire. Somebody says, I can't think of anything worse than a capital punishment. I can. Hell for eternity. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people who haven't committed capital crimes who are going to wind up there because they reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many people who have committed capital crimes who have come to the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and have been forgiven and have been given mercy, and they're going to wind up in heaven. I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ died for every sin, and he died for those as well. I tell you, if you haven't come to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy, do so, and do so at once. He and only he is the one that can give you the mercy that will get you by the second death.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.